Well, good morning, everyone, and just want to remind you that you could have chosen another church to go to, and most churches are good, but you've chosen to be here this morning, so glad you're here, right? Amen. So sometimes I just want to give you just kind of a note. Sometimes as a pastor, as a preacher, I'd say, because you can be a preacher without being a pastor, but as a preacher and you prep for a message, sometimes your messages, they just come out, man. They can just come out real great. Other times they come out all squoggled, but whatever you do, you trust the Lord. There's been times I've walked up to the podium, especially, and there's been times I walked up and threw that message away and, the Lord, and just go with whatever the Lord has, whatever it is. But today is, we're just going to pray. I'm going to pray one more time because I'm going to need this today because, I mean, I have something here. It took me a minute to put it together. But it is a lot, but I think the Lord is moving it a little bit into some different direction on it. But it's also one that's going to be a little hard to hear, not because it's just going to be a little tough to hear. Sound good? We good? All right. So, Father, Lord, we just ask for your presence right now in this moment. When we open up your word, we try to obtain what your word is, Lord, and there's so much, Lord, that's in your word. And, Lord, even with just one verse, sometimes we think we understand it, and then you just open our spiritual eyes and ears open. And then we obtain even more. And it's just amazing what your word does and how it works. We thank you for your word today. And now may we work through it. May your spirit move through the voice of my voice today. May what you want come out and may we be hearers of it and just do whatever you call us to do with it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you today about preparation as a believer. Preparation, you know, if you want to go to be a doctor, you got to prep that. You have to go to school, you have to go to grad school, you got to go into, or you have to go into a hospital, and you have to be these pre-med students, and you got to do all these things, and to be a doctor, and you got to do all these testing. You want to go in the military, you sign up, and then next thing you know, you're doing in basic training, and you're going through some kind of special school, and then they plant you somewhere. And then you are a soldier and you begin to do that. So the world has preparations for about everything. Everything. The world, here in America, we prepped for about everything. But I want to share with you a little bit about a couple of things today. Being a believer in the Lord, it is the greatest thing. I'm just telling you, being a believer. I want to put this out here first. Being a believer, there's nothing better than it, than being a believer. Being part of the family of God. Life is already hard enough. But with God, he says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He will always be with you. You are sealed. As we learned last week, man, we talked about eternal security. We talked about some good stuff. That you are sealed for the day of redemption. But you have a life to live here. And sometimes that life can be tough, even as a believer. We're going to be in Genesis chapter. We're going to be in Genesis. We're going to talk about Joseph today. And there's so many angles of talking about it. But in chapter 37, we're going to see that there's a young man named Joseph. And Scripture says in verse 2 that he is 17 years old. Now, usually by that time of 17, you have an idea what you want to do. You have an idea what you want to be. When I grew up, when I was in elementary school, I already knew that I wanted to work undercover and I wanted to work in the drug world. And I did that. I had a dream. Many of you can have dreams and you want to fulfill that. You can work hard. You can do those things. But sometimes God puts something in front of you. Let me tell you, when God puts a dream in front of you and it's His, look at me, it's going to cost you everything. You're going to have to empty yourself out. Then you're going to have to go all the way down to your toes and empty up out even more. And you might as well forget your wallet. Any dreams of making money, you might as well forget that. Because everything is going to come from God. And if He gives it to you, He gives it to you. Sometimes when God gives you a dream, it is costly. Sometimes it can cost, sometimes if we're not careful, it can cost our family. If you're not careful, it can cost a marriage if you're not careful. Because the dream can, the dream can cultivate. It cultivates and it can suck everything out of you. It can give you attitude. It can push people away from you. When God calls you to do something, so many people say that God's called him to do something. God can put something in you to be something in you, and he sets the tone and he sets a path and you do it and you go through it. But when God gives you a dream, gives you a visual, what he wants out of you, I'm telling you, it's going to cost you more than what you think. It's going to cost you. But it's still good. He don't let you see it sometimes in the front end. He gives you a visual. What God had did was, in chapter 37, what we see is there's a family, and then a bunch of families of boys, and one of these boys are a little bit more liked than it, with his father. He gives him, maybe you know the story, he gives him a coat of many colors. There's songs about it and movies about it and all that, and we see it and what happened. But really the most important part of this whole thing is God intervened. And God gave Joseph two dreams. They meant the same thing. His family was going to bow down to him sometime. That he was going to be somewhere in a position where people, his family, was going to bow down. Whether it was the stars and the moon and the sun, but the father was the sun, the mom represented the moon, and the stars were the brothers. The whole family was going to bow down. Well, he shares that dream with his brothers. The first one, he shares that whole dream there about the sheaves and all that. And that's the first one. And then the second one about the stars, and they're bowing down to him. And they struggle with it. They don't like him. Sometimes there's people in your own family that don't like you. As hard as you try, there can be siblings that don't like you. And let me remind you, it doesn't mean you've done something wrong. Jealousy runs in family. We're not going in this direction much, but I'm telling you, jealousy and envy runs in family, and it is thick, and it is hard. And there was a lot of jealousy and a lot of envy here. And so what we see is they get so upset about it that they decide, the boys do, they decide that they are going to throw him in a well, get rid of him. But they end up trying to make some money, and they end up selling Joseph to some slave traders. Wow, that's real nice, isn't it? Now, if you go to chapter 38, don't do that. That's a whole side. That's another side story for you. That deals with a whole other thing. You have to jump to 38 where we're going now. Sometimes when you have a dream, you think that you're going to go from here to there, like right now. You just do. Sometimes you feel like, well, God's paved the way. It's going to happen right now. This boy's 17 years old. And all of a sudden now his brothers have thrown him and sold him into slavery. This is where people quit right out the gate. God, where are you? I'm done. That's why people quit coming to church. That's why people walk away from God when it got a little bit tough. And let me tell you, we don't know what tough is until you get sold. That's tough. You had the whole fields to run around in, and he gets sold into slavery. And his brothers, he is abandoned and sold to slavery at 17. Let's look at chapter 39. Here he goes in verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken to Egypt, taken away from his home. An Egyptian named Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him there. Now he's sold to somebody else. But verse 2 says this: the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, serving in the household of his Egyptian masters. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord was had made everything he did successful, Joseph found favor with his master and became his personal attendant. Potiphar also put him in charge of his household and placed all that he owned under his authority. What does it say? That the Lord was with Joseph and he became successful. Does this sound successful to you? We see success in what we see in visual of what success really is. You see, there would be people that would come to this church and see our size and say, this church is not successful. They could come into this church, visit this church, and go, oh, that's just a little church. They're not successful. Oh, they've been around for 22 years. They're not successful, and leave and walk away. They visited one time. Just came into the church, been a part of our worship, walk out, and this is what a lot of visitors do. And they walk out, and they go, not successful. But what does it say? It says the Lord was with Joseph. Now, let me tell you, anytime you see in the Bible when the scripture says the Lord was with them, you know what? They're in the palm of his hand and they're okay. Even if they're Jeremiah in the bottom of a water well, even if they're David in the cave of Adullam, even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, it doesn't matter. And wherever you are, if the scripture says that God is with you, you're okay. And even in this place here, nobody wants to be a slave servant to someone else. You know what a slave does? Exactly anything and everything that the master tells them to do. All y'all that are really cocky and all that are really like, you know, You can't do that. You can't buck. You can't buck the master. If so, you're going to go out back and they're going to show you how to get in line. This boy's 17 years old. And God was with him. And the cool part of it is Potiphar even saw everything that he did was successful. So he put him in charge of all of those things. All those things. And we see that the Lord was with him. But then a moment comes up and Potiphar's wife ends up trying to throw sexual advances at Joseph. And Joseph didn't want any part of it. He was keeping his integrity. And at this moment he could have said, you know what? I ain't seen God anywhere. I'm just good at what I do. I'm not seeing God anywhere. Might as well take advantage of best of what I got. I can take advantage of what I got here. But he doesn't. He doesn't do that at all. And then she makes up a lie and says he advanced on her. And Potiphar gets angry and puts him into prison. Folks, it's one thing to be a slave. It's another thing to go to prison. And those prisons then were not like the prisons today. Let me tell you, back then, prisoners had no rights. He lost all of his freedom when he became a slave. He lost everything when he became prisoner. He didn't have anything. Well, what does it say? Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. And he granted him favor with the prison warden. And the warden put all the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority, and he was responsible for everything that was done there. Isn't it? It's just like, But why are we reading scriptures where it says, and the Lord was still with Joseph, and he extended kindness to him? He gives him kindness. And it even says there in verse 23, the warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him. And the Lord made everything that he did successful. But who wants to be in prison? Who wants to have those hardship moments? Who wants to have those hardship things? This is why people struggle in their Christianity. I think when they come to Christ and everything is just laid out and everything is going to be perfect. It's not perfect because we're not perfect. It's not perfect because we live in a broken and unperfect, sinful world. And let me remind you, whatever God has you involved in, it's always bigger than what you can see. It's always bigger than what you know. It's always bigger. But then we see a baker and a butler. All of a sudden there's two new prisoners that come in. The butler and the baker upset the Pharaoh and from the palace, and they throw them into prison. Well, they have, both of them have dreams, and Joseph's able to interpret them, and the baker ends up dying, and the butler is getting ready to be restored, going back to his position. But here's what we see in chapter 40, verse 14. He's telling them, you're going to go back. He's telling the butler, you're going to go back and be the Pharaoh's cupbearer and all that. You will put the Pharaoh's cup in his hand the way you used to when you were the cupbearer. But verse 14 says, when all goes well with you, remember that I was with you. Please show kindness to me by mentioning me to the Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. Joseph does not want to be there. Joseph does not want to be there. And so the cupbearer is restored. In verse 23 it says, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. So he stays in prison. Why in the world is God letting this young man continue to stay in prison? Well, there is a purpose in it. There is a purpose. The Pharaoh ends up having a dream. So the Pharaoh has a dream and can't understand it. And then all of a sudden, a couple of years later, he has his dream. And then the cupbearer says, hey, I remember a guy. He's in prison. He can interpret dreams. And he shares the things with the baker and he shares the dream with himself. It says in verse 14 to 41, this all comes to a piece. Then the Pharaoh sent for Joseph, that they quickly brought him from the dungeon. He shaved and changed his clothes, and he went to the Pharaoh. Let me just stop there for a minute. He's all dingy looking. He gets to take a shower. He gets to take a bath, because you can't go in front of the Pharaoh unless you look good. He's going to see his face for the first time in a long time. Remember, he's a prisoner in a foreign land. Hebrews kept their beards. He's in Egypt. You in my house now. You're going to shave that thing off. You a prisoner. You don't even have the rights of a slave. You a prisoner. So he shaved his, changed his clothes, and he went to Pharaoh, and he had to borrow somebody's clothes because his clothes weren't going to work. He didn't have anything. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream and no one can interpret it, but I have heard it said about you that you can hear a dream and interpret it. And Joseph says this in verse 16, I am not able to. Joseph answered the Pharaoh, it is God who will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. Even in all this, Joseph still kept his integrity with God. That's what he did. And he interprets the dream. And the next thing we know, his life is beginning to change. His life is beginning to change. In verse 45, the Pharaoh gave Joseph a new name. As he interprets it, There's going to be this time of feast and famine. And the Pharaoh gave Joseph, in verse 45, the name Saphnath and Paneah, and gave him a wife. Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Remember, he's in his world now. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. And 46 says this, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Joseph left Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout the land of Egypt, began to do his work that the Pharaoh desired him to do. 13 years of pain and suffering. 13 years of pain and suffering to get to a moment. You see, I don't think that that Joseph knew where this all was going. I don't think Joseph knew what the end was going to be. What we see is 13 years of pain and suffering. But Joseph had a dream when he was 17. Chapter 50, we see, we're not going there, but chapter 50, we see his family begins to bow down. God used Joseph. Joseph didn't pick God. God picked Joseph to do a dream, to give him a dream to show him that this is what your future will look like. Joseph had it packed way down. And the more you go through suffering, it seems like it still gets packed down even more. And there comes a time that his brothers end up in chapter 50, end up all kneeling before him. They know him. They kneel even before that. But they kneel before him. Father, all of them, they do it all. This does not look like a good preparation that I would sign up for. This is not a preparation that I would want to have anybody sign up for. But this is the way God saw it. You can't put a 17-year-old in charge of a country. First, he had to know what it was like to lose everything. Because that's what the famine would do. If you didn't prepare for famine, you would lose everything. So he wanted to show him what it felt and what it looked like and what it felt like to lose your whole family and everything. He also wanted to show Joseph what it was like is, you are not in charge anymore. Now someone else will rule over you. You will become a slave. So you're going to know what it's like. He didn't know, but in the future, that Joseph was going to have that authority that he could tell everybody else what to do. Except for the Pharaoh. He was the VP Pharaoh. So God was going to show him what it was like to take orders. God was also going to show him what it was like to be falsely accused. You know, Jesus was falsely accused. Sometimes we as believers are falsely accused. But God wanted to show Joseph what it was like to be falsely accused. And at the cost, what it would be is that Joseph also needed to know what it was like to lose not just everything, but everything in your being and your freedom and all of it to be put into prison. To be at the bottom of the barrel. So in one place where he's a slave, God puts him in charge to know how to lead those who are in slavery, but yet he's still a slave. In prison, God puts him and allows him to be put into prison so that he can understand and know what it's like to be at the bottom of the barrel working and lose your total freedom. But yet he's also in charge of that place as well. God was teaching him how to feel these things and how to experience these things, but also how to be in charge of those things. Because he's going to have a task in front of him. He's going to give him a task that's much bigger than himself. To be the VP of all of Egypt and all the lands around it. Folks, I think God is still doing things here at New Life. Yeah, I heard that, Phil. Amen. And sometimes it's hard to say amen when you know what the cost is and what you paid. But I'm going to be serious. I'm going to tell you my heart this morning. It has cost a lot to leave this church. It has cost a lot. It's cost my family a lot. I've sacrificed a lot, and I know a lot of you have too, but I want to just tell you as a lead, it is a lot. And I'm not patting myself on the back, but it is more than the norm. It is more than the norm. I believe this church is harder than pastoring a church of 500. Because of the ministries, it is difficult. The weight that comes in my office is heavy. But I want to tell you, even though the cost of what it has cost, and there's costs that I'm not even going to share with you today, even though there has been a heavy cost, I want to tell you, I would rather have this cost to have God with me than have chased my own dreams of the past. When I chased my dreams of the past, I was obtaining what I wanted to do. But the cost was different. Get out of my way. I'm going to be the best at what I'm going to be at. I'm going to do this. The dream was in my heart all the way back into my childhood, in my school years. I will work the undercover. I will do in law enforcement. I will do those things. Y'all heard of 21 Jump Street? Now, I didn't watch the new movie, but I'm talking about the series with Johnny Depp, right? I kind of did that in high school a little bit. Not a lot of it, but the principal knew who I knew who was dealing. We had conversations. I didn't care. I had a goal. It's my stepping block. I go in the military. It took me time, but I got there. I remember a night. I remember the night when my partner, we got shot. I remember the night. Had a kilo of cocaine. I remember the night. I remember those back alley club nights. I remember that. I remember all that stuff. But let me tell you something. It haunts me still today. I still have many flashbacks. I have still many things that come up in my mind. How stupid I was to put my life in that kind of position. And why was I doing this with a son? A very young son and a young wife. What was I doing? Didn't matter. I had my dream. And then it was going to cost me everything. Finally had a spiritual wake up because nobody could wake me up. But the Lord. And the Lord turns around and gets me out of that. I'm living my dream. I tried to go back to it several times. And I played around with it a lot. But I want to tell you, when God puts a dream in you, that's His dream. It is the real deal. It's still going to cost. But I would rather be in the will of God with the hard stuff than out of the will of God doing my own thing. And that's what we don't see walking with God. That when you walk with God and do what He wants, there is a cost. There is a cost. And sometimes it is hard. The flesh rises up and also the spirit rises up. And you got things you have to do and you need to do with your family. There's other things you got to be careful of. And you got to always keep this realm, this prayer life around you. And sometimes it gets exhausting. But I want to tell you, I know this, no matter where I am, no matter where I am spiritually, these scriptures keep popping out to me. And the Lord was with him. Folks, I've had dreams about some of you. I've had some dreams about my own family. I don't know why. God just has given them to me. This is not a common topic in Southern Baptist. I will tell you that. But here it is. I can tell you there could be a dozen people in this church that could testify. Jimmy's right. It's not because I'm right. It's because just the Holy Spirit works through in strange ways at times. And there's those here that would testify to say that if I'm going to tell you something, and it is of the Lord. And sometimes carrying that weight is heavy. But I'm telling you, the dream was 2006 for this place. And there has been a cost in building this place. There's been a cost in it. There's been a cost, and we're still building. And I don't know when the end is. The end will be when I'm done for me, and then God will take the church, will keep taking the dream wherever it needs to go. But I believe when you believe that God has given you something that's legit, that's real, that comes from heaven, if you trust Him, it will come to be. God gave a vision in a hotel room to do the things we're doing. And let me just tell you, take a real quick look. There are four houses, five buildings. There are seven buildings. Churches don't own seven buildings unless you count the garage shed. I'm telling you, God is still working here. It's still as hard can be. This is a very hard place to serve. But I would rather be in the will of God working in the hardships than being over here where either it's my dream or it was easy street because I wanted to do less. Listen, it's not just about me. God has pulled you. Just like He did with David. He brought those who all were whoever He brought to, I don't want to use those words, brought those people to David and they became His mighty men. And then the day came that David became a king. Joseph became a VP. What is it for here? What is it really that God is trying to do here? What is He doing? He's giving people an opportunity to change their lives. Not for the best of the world, but the best through God. To find a new way in life that is not of the world, but of the Lord. To hear the gospel, to actually find a way that God does love them, to hear through all the loud voices and everything, there's a place that there is a quiet place. A place that believes in redemption. That isn't just on Sunday morning, but for some, it's every single day while you're here. It's a spiritual hospital. It is a place with a lot of pain and a lot of suffering. Folks, I'm telling you, if you knew what had happened in our lives today, all of us here, we would have some very dark things. Some hardships and some ugly things, some brokenness. But it's okay because God is with us. And if you don't believe that God is with us, you need to go and work out your own salvation, as the scripture says, with trembling. To make sure you're really have a relationship with God. I want to tell you that preparation can be hard and difficult. It was tough for Abraham, had to get up and leave his whole family. It was tough for Sarah, believing in a dream that she would have a child even in her old age. It was tough for Esther, for we read the scriptures, such a time as this. David, when he was running for Saul, is it ever going to happen? Is it ever going to happen that I'm going to be king? Nehemiah, hearing the hard news of the walls of his home where he broke down and he just broke down and God used that broken heart to restore the walls of Jerusalem. Jonah, we heard that on Wednesday, a message that nobody wants to preach. He didn't want to preach it there. It was the enemy, but yet he had to move forward. The 12 disciples, all in their moments of weakness, even in the moment when Jesus was crucified, but Jesus gathers them back up. Because Jesus wasn't going to let their lack of faith destroy the dream that He had. He was preparing them for over 3 years to be not just disciples, but to be apostles. And they really didn't even know what it was going to be until the church exploded in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, it turned the world upside down and changed everything. It was amazing. And then God prepared Paul. Paul was on a vengeance, what he believed was right. And God used that, changed his whole life. Folks, everything that I did in my past for my stuff, I thought was for myself. But God did use some of that for today. Then I can relate with those who are in an addiction to a point. Then I can relate to those who live in the back alleys and the clubs and things of that sort. Doesn't make me one that used or anything, but I'm telling you, I've worked with a lot of them. God will take your past and use it for His good purposes. God is not done. Preparation, people don't like it. It's tough. Preparation is hard. Preparation is costly. But I'm telling you, if God, listen, never say it. I think I heard this a couple weeks ago or somewhere. If God is telling you to do something, do not tell Him no. You are just going to make it harder for yourself. I don't want to preach. God called me to preach. I don't want to preach. Listen, you can fight that your whole life. And I guarantee you this, you will have the same thing in common with so many other people. You will have a sour spirit and you will have no peace in your spirit. God called you to be a pastor's wife. Accept it. God called you to be a deacon. Accept it. God give you a gift to sing. Accept it. God give you the gift of hospitality. Use it. Do it. Encouragement. Use it. Do it. Preparation is hard. God's dreams are just tough. But there's a greater purpose for it. The lives that were saved by God putting Joseph in were probably in the millions. Because God saw what was coming ahead. Chose a 17-year-old boy to be his tool. God saw all these churches here in Huntington, and they were way here before we were. But God wanted something right here in this place to do what we're doing today. Folks, I would love to be done doing ministries. I'm going to be honest with you. I would love to be done doing ministries. But I'm not in charge. I can't help the steering. I can't help the Holy Spirit is moving and tells me that I can't help it. I can't help it. I can't say no. I can't help it. But God will also give you the strength and the courage to do it. Father, I don't really know. I just want to share, Lord, with you right now that you know each one of us where we are. You know what's in front of us. You know what's already been behind us. And I pray, Lord, what you have for each of us individually and what you have for us together as a church here, that we would just be willing to follow and give us a heart and the spirit to do it. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand. Let's move in this moment here where we can have a chance and opportunity to pray if we need to. To pray if we want to.